SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three at the races. About 50 minutes. We'll spend half with Seth Merrow and half with Gary Young at Del Mar, and we'll get Gary's seasonal preview. He certainly has got an eye on plenty of the two-year-olds, considering that there'll be a handful that he bought for clients that'll be running. Not just out west either. There'll be some here at Saratoga. And for a quick reference point, and Seth Merrow joining us. He's at Maine getting the last vestiges of the summer vacation before the intense Saratoga season really starts on Friday. But Seth can concur here, too. The landmark that I'm talking about is up at, it's basically Queensbury, South Glens Falls, and find it as the Landmark Motor Inn. And our friend John Naja, that owned it for decades, he sold it over the winter and is officially retired. But he helped the new owner, a guy from Albany that bought the Landmark, as beautiful as ever and as well maintained. And every year we remind people there's just not a better value, because the same price year round. I mean, if you're going to come up for leaf peeping, you know, in the fall, if you're going to come for the big garage sale at Warrensburg, which a lot of people do, you can't beat the location. It's 10 miles to Lake George, is 10 miles to Saratoga. The Landmark Motor Inn. I'll send a link so you can book. And they usually have, you know, there's usually maybe Travers Week they might be sold out, but there's usually some rooms that, you know, for last minute. So check there if you're getting stymied within Saratoga itself. And of course, there's more hotels in Saratoga than years ago. I mean, when I was starting to come in the 80s, my buddy Phil Melnick and I, we used to have to stay at the Rip Van Dam. That's that was pretty much the choice. The Rip.
The whole city's changed. I mean, you talk about comparing to 20 years ago, Caroline Street and the bars that are rocking on Caroline Street at night. I mean, there used to be a couple of places, you know, Tin and Lint, and maybe Gaffney's was down there.
Yep.
Desperate Annie's the place that I like to hang out, because I know all the folks that work there. But that's a totally different scene. All the restaurants in town, you go a couple of blocks off Broadway, apartment buildings now, and the whole place has changed. And you're right, there the number of hotel rooms has skyrocketed. And you make a great point. You go up the road, you know, people look at the prices in Saratoga. It's convenient to be in town, certainly. A lot of the places you can walk to the track and walk to the National Museum of Racing and that kind of thing, and you don't have to worry about driving at night if you want to go out and have some fun. But if you're looking for a little less expensive, as you say, go up the road or go down the road, Colony or Clifton Park. Years ago, with my old burg, Amsterdam, the Holiday Inn there, which isn't there anymore, they used to run a bus every day, which I thought was interesting, because there's not a whole lot of nightlife or anything going on in Amsterdam. But I guess if you save some money and you're just going to sleep and get up and go to the track all day, that was a pretty good deal. So if you shop around the area, you can still find some deals. Also toss out there, because I had Tom Amello on with me the other day, who a longtime OTB handicapper, retired teacher, but he and his family, his wife and his daughter, now own the Brunswick B&B, which is right across the street from the racetrack.
Oh, yeah. Now that you say that.
I mean, it's a great location all year long. You know, the staycation kind of idea as well. You're literally steps away from the racing museum and just across the street from the track as well.
I had forgotten that. I remember Tom had mentioned that they did that. Nice. Well, certainly for those that are coming, and you know, not everybody that comes to the area is only coming for the racetrack. There's so much, whether it's the Philadelphia Orchestra and the ballet and the concerts and just any number of activities in and around, and then, you know, we've gone up and have boated three times this summer, courtesy of our friend letting us use his boat, and it's just been a delight on Lake George. It's been so much fun. There's so much here. It's really remarkable. And it's the best part, Seth, is, and you're in Maine, which kind of has the same feel. It's old fashioned. It's a throwback vacation. And I mean, I can remember coming to, you know, what is now Great Escape, but it, when I was
Storytown,
when I was a Storytown. Yeah, there's pictures, little
and Frontier,
black and whites.
Frontier Land, I guess it was called, right, which
or,
was kind of
or Frontier Town.
Frontier Town, yeah, you got it. Yeah
Frontier
yeah.
Town and Story Land.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Storybook Land. And,
yeah,
and
maybe,
you mean, still have the Magic Forest.
Yeah,
you still have Magic
and
Forest.
And you're probably right. We don't tout that because we take it for granted. And so we don't tout it enough. I mean, on your radio show, we talk to a national audience of people who maybe are planning trips, and they should think, you know, on Tuesdays, certainly, it's days off. But even on other days, if the whole family doesn't want to go to the track every day, there are just all kinds of things you can do, that, as you say. Lake George, but Saratoga Lake is also beautiful. You got Browns Beach out there. Driving distance also, and a lot of people, I mean, if you're going to make your trip to this area that you don't do but, you know, once every few years, something to keep in mind also, well within driving distance, Cooperstown Baseball Hall of Fame. Out here, my way, an hour and a half or a couple hours to Springfield, you got the Basketball Hall of Fame.
That's right.
As well.
That's right.
So there's a lot of things that are well within driving distance that are worth doing. I enjoy the track every day, but as I say, if people are making an occasional visit to the area, you can tick off some of the other things. And again, for some other members of the family that maybe you're there for a week and one member of the family wants to go to the track every day and the other folks are maybe good with a couple of days during the trip, there are plenty of opportunities to kind of to jump around. As you say, I'm up in Maine getting my last licks in, as we all have to. It's a tough job, but somebody has to go to the track every day, but it does shorten the summer a little bit. And this was a desperate trip, and I just want to toss this in because they had a great crowd. I did a pre-Saratoga seminar down at the Times Union last night, down in Albany. I was on the panel, Tim Wilkin from the Times Union, Tom Durkin, Rich Migliori, and they had a nice crowd. There was probably about 80 people there down at the Hearst Media Center in the Times Union building, and it was just a little Saratoga preview, and Meg and Durkin were tossing out some stories, and everybody kind of walked away happy. So that's always fun, too. And I always say the nice thing about Saratoga is what's outside the fences. The people here in the Saratoga, and I'll include the Albany area, they're just so plugged into racing. The local media is so plugged in. All the local stations, TV stations, will be there on opening day. Channel 10 has a presence throughout the meet. They do their evening news from a set out by the paddock pretty much every night during the meet, and local newspapers all concentrate on it. So it really is, if there are folks in your audience who are racing fans, and obviously that is your audience, racing fans, and they haven't been to Saratoga yet, you definitely want to make a reservation.
Now I'm shocked. Durkin and Migliori told some stories.
I said on the end of the panel, I thought I could have gone to Maine early.
Exactly. You didn't. You could have had a cardboard cutout of you, and would have been just as effective. It's when those two get started, forget it.
Not that they weren't great.
No, they're absolutely.
Have you ever heard the Migliori drop the ashes story?
Probably, but go ahead.
If I'm not going to retell it because I can't tell it as good, but if you run into him, get him to tell it or have him tell it on the radio show sometime. It was kind of a classic.
No, he's got his go-tos, and so does Durkin. And Durkin, I think, is doing. You mentioned the Hall of Fame and baseball and racing, and Durkin does tours.
Yeah.
At the Hall. Look forward to that. and lots of, there's just so much, and website, the various resources to prepare for a trip. So, and if there's anything we can do to make your trip more pleasant, any ideas, let us know if we can help. We kicked off our broadcast year early, too. We had a nice Sunday session, and we talked about the origins of the show, which was a lot of fun. And then Andy was terrific. He was funny yesterday, Seth. I said, you know, Andy, I really could just run the audio from your TV visit. And he said, okay, good, do that. I'm going to hang up.
I can see that. We were a hit on Twitter. Twitter was aflame talking about the show.
Well, my poll that set the tone.
Had 60-some people.
Yes, people were very. They're very eager. They love.
And I'm working
much like
on
me.
It. I am work by opening day, and this is a promise. By opening day, I am going to put that poll to shame.
There will be.
Yes.
Have you decided? Is it going to be Equidelli or is it going to be?
I'm doing a personal.
A personal one. All right.
Yeah.
Well, this is the most anticipated Twitter unveiling
until
ever.
I'm about 3 days in, and then people will say, "Oh, that was not worth the wait."
Well, they just want to see you do it, like your Facebook cameo. That was the best. You're on Facebook for 12 minutes.
It was more like 12 hours, but yeah. That was,
well, they browbeat you. The Capital OTV browbeat you into opening an account.
There were some business reasons why it made sense, and then like 12 hours in, I realized I'm not the guy that did so they shifted to somebody else.
This is a mistake.
Facebook is not my forte.
Yeah. Well, got about 10 minutes. Let's look forward to the meet. You are going to miss today. This afternoon, there's a little press function over in the new section in the head of the stretch.
Yeah, which I am really looking forward to visiting. I didn't get a chance, you know, when we were over the doing shows over the weekend. I wanted to jump over, and I just didn't get a chance. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, I'm not going to be back now probably until opening day, but certainly I'll walk down and take a look. So I'm sorry I'm going to miss the intro to that. But, again, clearly all the TV stations will be there. By tonight, there'll be plenty of or tomorrow night, there'll be plenty of video up to kind of peruse. But I'm looking forward to that. I think it was a good idea. It was kind of an underutilized end of the grandstand. Really, you know, only on big days did they fill up those seats. And so I think it'll be a hit.
Agreed. And they were stunned, actually, at the reception. And, in fact, this did come up. I'm just thinking about it. It did come up with Chris Kay, and Kay sat down with Dave Greinig, and I haven't read it yet, but they talked about, you know, the future and you know, the 5 years that, you know, since Kay you know, was called upon by the governor. They did a study that assigned the percentage of the usage of that section of the grandstand, and this is the far end of the grandstand, basically even further up the stretch from the carousel, and it was only being used a total of 16% of the meet,
which makes sense. I mean, yeah. you're for folks who aren't familiar, you are. You know, those last couple of sections, you're virtually at the top of the stretch. And so, yeah, you get to see them go by you, but then you're kind of focusing on a TV monitor anyway to watch the end of the race. So with the seating options that are available in the backyard and whatnot, it's just, it completely makes sense that a lot of people weren't sitting there unless it was a big day. And then it became kind of a limited number of options, and they would fill up on some of those big days. But, yeah, you know, I mean, there were nice seats, again, on big days when you didn't have any other options, but there were other places that you could sit otherwise that kind of afforded you the same or maybe even a better experience. You know, the family's coming up, rather than buying five or six seats down in Section X, you get a picnic table out in the backyard, and – and have just as much fun.
Well, this is a, you know, a modern concept, and when you go to Santa Anita, you know, Santa Anita built those boxes that have, you know, multi levels and multi use, and this is similar. I mean, this has got all the creature comforts, and it's more of an open layout with kind of bench couch seats, and very, very different. And, you know, I know people are concerned about the, you know, the integrity or the you know, the historic preservation. I mean, there's nothing that is, you know, that is impugning the historic elements of Saratoga, but it is important, you know, especially if there's going to be some years of expanded usage, that it have, you know, some modern efficiencies that horse players need and want.
Yeah, and I think people have to remember. I mean, if I look at the plans they roll out, it seems like they're well aware of kind of keeping in the architectural realm of what we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
They recognize, you know, they recognize the historic value. So people have to keep that in mind. They are clearly aware of that, but also have to keep in mind, I mean, from the time I started going, when I got into the game as a kid and started going up there, to what the facility looks like now, it's very different now than it was, you know, 30
right.
years ago. I mean, certainly the paddock has changed completely, because I was there in the days with no fence. But also the clubhouse is very different, because the clubhouse used to be literally what is now sections A and B, or B and C, and that has all changed. I mean, the infrastructure there that got you in and out of the clubhouse is very different now, because the clubhouse itself has expanded further down. So there have been a lot of changes over the years as well. So if people sit there and look at what's there now and get nostalgic, you have to remember that's different really than only 25 or 30 years ago.
Well, we start Friday. Don't know if you had a chance to look yet at opening day card, but good start, and the opportunities will abound. Del Mar today. Anything? I'm going to talk to Gary Young next, but do you have a play or two at Del Mar?
The first race, I think. I looked at the pit last pick four. Let me just pull it up here on the computer, because I think the first race was the maiden race. The seventh. I went 6-5, 2-7, and the 6-5-1, 6-5-1, and the 5-20-1, I think, are both interesting. Angel Alessandra by Go Zapper, trained by Peter Miller, some nice workouts there. The dam produced a sibling that was seventh and fifth and first, but one in the third, you know, the first couple of starts, but one in the third start, that says kind of precociousness. Go Zapper, pretty good sire of debut runners. The horse worked 21.3. at a two-year-old sale, so I like the six. But Palm d'Oro, the number five horse, 20-1. Violence last year, 59 first-time starters, 12 wins, 8 seconds. So pretty much one out of every three of his first-time starters hit the exacta. Dam's first fall, so I'm not sure there. But at 20-1, I was willing to take a little shot on the Art Sherman horse, Palm d'Oro, put that one in the mix. So again, that seventh, I went 6-5, 2-7.
You didn't. You know, the seven's the talking horse, Brill, and I use the Mendez horse, that Van Gogh second, working way too fast to you know, 5 furlongs.
Yeah.
If this was 6 or 6.5, I figured somebody would get to a horse like this, but Van Gogh, 33s at Los Al, which is like the new Calder. In terms of being deep and training surface, I mean, that this is obviously a freaky fast little filly. So I'm going to use her underneath, but I'm going to try to lean on Brill, because there's the sequence, you know, certainly with the feature with the Oceanside, very tough. If it isn't one of, you know, for those that are leaning on a, you know, couple of favorite types or, you know, mid-priced long shots, I ended up with a 20-1 shot. that I kind of gravitated toward. The Bill Murray that upon closer look kind of grabbed me a little bit, and that was Artie B. Good. But there's a couple of spots here that is just too tough. The start of the pick five. I'm going to try to ensure that I get through. I use six in that first leg. So fun sequence, without a doubt, to start off Del Mar. And we will be together. I'll see you Friday. And we will have our first full loose on the lead Sunday, 10 o'clock.
Looking forward to it. The kickoff last week was a lot of fun. Again, people can pick that up on the Capital OTB YouTube page if they want to watch the replay. And we kick it off with the official season opener on Sunday. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to the meet starting. Again, I'll sit on the beach this afternoon, get my last R&R in, and then off and running, essentially kind of sitting down tomorrow and really putting things together, and then back on TV Friday morning.
Excellent. And everybody can watch CapitalOTB.com. You can watch the streaming. I know that some people have said it's a little, some days they have trouble, but it should be there for you. And at the very least, you can watch it on YouTube shortly thereafter. New programming. Brian Nadeau has got a show on Saturdays that he's going to be doing as well.
And his show from last Saturday's probably worth picking up. Jonathan Thomas was on Catholic Boy. John Panagot, who was the manager, I think he gets still working with Bob LaPenta, but now is the agent for Javier Castellano and Mike McAdam of the Gazette. But that was a good kickoff show for Brian.
Excellent. Seth Merrow, safe trip back. See you Friday.
Sounds good. See you Friday. Good luck to everybody jumping in opening day today at Del Mar.
Going to take a break here. Gary Young going to join us from Del Mar next, and we'll get Gary's pre-meet views, maybe an opinion or two, and some more two-year-olds that he's been impressed with, and some of the ones that not just impressed but invested on and invested in with clients. So, Gary Young. And we'll, Case, make this our first Del Mar musical interlude when we come back. Bing Crosby will play us in back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
inside the sport of kings. It's At the Races on Sirius Sports. Here's your host, Steve Bick.
Where the turf meets the surf, down at Old El Mar. Take a plane, take a train, take a car. There's a smile on every face, and a winner in each race. Where the turf meets the surf, at Del Mar.
Well, there you go. And Gary Young probably will be one of the featured singers of Where the Turf Meets the Surf this year. When are you singing, Gary?
I can't sing.
No.
I can't sing, but doesn't mean when I'm in my car by myself and the song comes on the radio that I like that I don't sing along with that. But no, I can't sing, and I'm too tall to do the jockey karaoke thing here coming up anyway, so I can't do that night. But, you know, I'll let Bing Crosby do the singing around this place, you know. So.
Well, the horses will be singing, and the dogs will be barking.
Yeah.
Some previews, some thoughts heading into the meet.
You know, there's a lot of activity around here. The morning activity has been quite heavy. The entry box filled well, and you know, I know there's a concerted effort to try to maintain the quality of racing that they've had in past years from Del Mar. And, you know, whether they can do that and whether there's enough good horses or potentially good horses to do it or not, I don't know. I mean, I think the two-year-old races will probably be, you know, fill rather well. And, you know, that's a big part of the meeting, along with the Pacific Classic. Yeah, it's kind of funny. When I first came here in 1981, this, you know, Hollywood and Santa Anita were very high up on the totem pole, and this was just a place you came to have some fun and everything. And you know, it's now the place where everyone wants to win. I mean, obviously, this is where you got to show up out here.
You bring up the 2 year olds and particularly the grass racing. Even though there's important, you know, sprint events and main track for male and female, but the turf, to me, the turf and the 2 year olds have really been the distinct and important elements of this meet and the things that I watch as much as I can. I mean, obviously, when Saratoga starts on Friday, I mean, every year I set out, Gary, to keep a close eye, and it ends up being, you know, some of the kind of catch can. It's not easy to be on top of both of these meetings day in, day out.
No. I mean, that's why you got a phone or an iPad next to you, or a tablet there's, you know, no disrespecting the other meets that are going on this time of year, but, you know, Saratoga and Del Mar are the places that most of the races you want to watch are going to be withheld at. And, usually the Saratoga card ends about the second or third year, and that's usually when the good races start around here. So, you know, it works out okay. It works out okay, but it's definitely, you know, I mean, these are the two places on their respective coasts that whether you're an owner or a trainer or anyone in the business, this is where you want to shine.
Give us your general overview and how you approach this meet from the handicapping and play side, and what you do when you look back at any at any meet when you recap where you did the best? How should people approach based on your experience?
Usually at Del Mar, the first part of the meet, the turf races, the come from behinders have win more than their share there. As the meet goes on and they mow the grass and it gets a little more worn down, the front runners seem to do a little bit better the second half of the meet. The main track around here is kind of a day-by-day thing. There, I've never really found it to be like a consistent pattern as to how the main track plays. You know, for a place that has a very short stretch, there are a lot of horses that do seemingly make up some good amount of ground in this short stretch. I mean, it's actually less than 3/16 of a mile, but if you're, it can be a long 3/16 of a mile sometimes if you got a front runner and he's out of gas. It's a, you know, the unique kind of track. I mean, it's, you know, it's like I said, it's the shortest, about as short a stretch as you'll ever see, but yeah, it's turf, I'm pretty, I stick by that rule I just mentioned. The dirt, it's a day-by-day occurrence, a day-by-day testing of the waters here.
You know, you also mentioned when it comes to the, particularly the rallying, you know, there's certain riders, and this was brought out extensively going into Breeders' Cup, DeSormo in particular, that just has got a great feel for when to launch the move when rallying. Nakatani as well. How about, you know, some of the other younger names that you are sensing have really clued in to how to approach Del Mar?
Oh, Pratt and Drayden are, I'm a big fan of both those guys. I think somewhere down the line, I don't know how many exits ahead on the freeway, but I think if they both stay in California, the Pratt and Drayden are going to, they're going to dominate the standings for a long time to come, providing they stay out in California. Like I said, I have no problem betting them. I have no problem betting them at all.
Want to take advantage of your view of the 2-year-old scene, and you know, obviously you were on hand for the 2-year-old in training sale this season. You bought for clients, and you also, you know, were probably the underbidder on some horses that you're going to keep tabs on. A couple of names, a couple of barns, Gary, that you feel are well primed.
Right now, Hollendorfer and Baffert, if you had to name it on two notes, they have some really good work in 2-year-olds. You know, neither one of them show you what they got in the morning, and you know, so they're not really interested in cash and bets or trying to sneak one by. So you're probably not going to get rich on them. But the Hollendorfer and Baffert have a definite look that they're going to be very much people to be dealt with in the 2-year-old races at this meet.
Well, speaking of which, the filly today, Brill, that is going to be a short price for Larry Best and Jerry Hollendorfer, $1 million Saratoga, actually $1 million July yearling last year.
Yes.
And how good is this filly?
She's good. She's good. I mean, barring, you know, as I've found out, and a lot of other people, there's a countless amount of ways a first-time starter can lose their first weight race. But if one of these things doesn't happen, like if she breaks and if nothing gets in her way, or there's an earthquake during the middle of this race, this race is going to be very tough to beat. She's going to be very tough to beat.
You know, you think about Hollendorfer and Baffert, probably Doug O'Neill with some that Dennis picks out. Simon Callahan appears to you know, be coming in with a, again, with a, he's proven out to be solid with his juveniles. How about some under the radar guys and gals that are always good down there, Gary, for a pop? Who do you watch out for?
Baltus. Yep. Has got some decent horses. I mean, the O'Neills and the Millers, a lot of them are training at San Luis Rey down
right.
where I don't have any idea. I mean, I might have some notes on them from the 2 year-olds in training sale, but that was a long time ago that they ran. So it's, but those would be some guys that I'd maybe look at also. You know, those guys, yeah.
How do you, under the maiden special level, how do you approach those like 50 maiden claimers? There'll be some 20 maidens, some cowbred maidens. Those can prove to be, you know, pretty murky. How do people approach
those?
Those are
where you can get your double digit prices too. A lot of times, a little bit of talent can go a lot further in those races than they can in the maiden special rate races where you're facing the Baffert and Hollendorfer monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you'll be a horse that ran in a maiden special weight race that showed you something in the morning that you got the idea they might not be primed to win their first race, but there was some talent there and they didn't run any good, but you know they're better than that. They come out of that race and have another good work and they drop in for 50, and you might get 6-8 to 1 on those horses. That's kind of what I look like in those, what to look for in those kind of races. I mean, sometimes you'll get someone trying to sneak a first time starter by that's worth a little bit more than 50 for maiden 50, but not as much as it used to be. Let's just put it that way.
Well, a couple of quick hits, some horses of yours that we should be rooting for.
Got a horse here named Gumtree Lane for my longtime client Michael House that I bought in April. He acts nice. He probably will be ready second half of the meet. You know, I have a horse that won his first race at Delaware 2 weeks ago tomorrow that named Call Paul for a longtime client, Michael Dubb, that has ran to his rave reviews in his first race. And, you know, I have some horses with my longtime client, Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners. We have one in on Friday named Blonick at Saratoga, and some other ones might be coming to the races here. But, you know, I'm hoping to cash some tickets this year and hoping to have some of my two-year-olds step up at this time of year, because this is the time of the year that you leave your footprints.
Exactly. Then get that next Capo Bastoni and some of the other good ones. We had Michael McCarthy yesterday, and he certainly touched on a couple, Gary, that for the little general there for Eclipse, and we watching for those. You got an Oceanside opinion today?
Tough race. Wow. I mean, Desert Stone, I could see. Arrowax, I could see. Might want to run a little further. Move Over, I could see. Not sure if he wants, if he's a better sprinter or router. Texas Wedge, maybe not my top choice, but could be on the lead by himself. It's a murky picture. I mean, you know, if I play any multi-race wagers, I'm going to use quite a few in that race.
Yeah, agreed. It's a spot you got to spread. And since we're together, Gary, any observations and insight as to the direction things are headed with the Triple Crown winner?
I hope we haven't seen the last of them, but if I had to say, I'd say we have. But I just, you know, the job Baffert did with them was unbelievable to pack that much activity into it. It took a very good training job, and it took a beast of an animal to do both, and that's what happened. You know, look, I'd like to see him finish off his career undefeated in the Breeders' Cup Classic, but I can understand if they choose not to go that route.
If he is out of the picture, is Accelerate the worthy inheritor of the mantle in the handicap division?
He could be. I mean, it's not. I don't. You know, he could be. I don't. That's a tough call on that, Steve. I mean, he definitely would be one of the ones, but I don't. I'm not going to say he'd be by far and away the top handicap horse, but he'd be one of the ones that could buy for the crown with Justify League. Yes. Yes.
Well, Gary Young, as always, just a pleasure to walk through the themes and some of the elements that will unfold the next 7 weeks, not just at Del Mar, but at Saratoga as well. And, Gary, best wishes and good luck. Expect to catch up with you later as the meet unfolds. And for those that would like to use Gary's outstanding eye and expertise picking out horses, and, of course, the sale season now underway, you got the yearlings coming up at Saratoga, and then into the fall, GaryYoungThoroughbreds.com. And, Gary, thanks, buddy. Best of luck.
See, before I leave, I want to say a special hello to my friend Jim Ventura. I want to say hi to Jimmy and just tell him he's my man. He's having, a little bump in the road with his family now, but I just want to say hello to Jim and tell him he's my man, okay? I got to run, but thank you very much.
Gary,
okay?
Thank you. And I appreciate you mentioning this, and I'll echo those sentiments. Gary Young, everybody. Gary Young, thoroughbreds.com. I guess we'll stay here. We got about 3-4 minutes, and pre-scratches, I put the selections up quite a bit ago, early this morning. I woke up at like 3 o'clock, maybe, I don't know, maybe excited about the day. That could be. Going over to Saratoga. The two-year-olds are bedded down and set up shop, so we're going to swing by the barn and say hello to them. And I'll get some pictures up as well. And waiting really just for the scratches at Del Mar, and I'll confirm everything that I put out there at the website. But here, let's spend a minute with some of the final decisions. And other than Texas Wedge, I went in different directions a little bit when it came to that Oceanside. Yesterday, I did mention Texas Wedge, Restrained Vengeance, and Calyxman with John White. I did add that Artie Be Good that just sort of kind of grabbed me this morning when I was, kind of pulling all the elements together, and nice positive view on the workout front when it came to National Turf, and then I thought style wise and not to diminish Asa Espinoza, because the Bug Boy is very competent, but Stuart Elliott picks up the mount, and that's a positive. There's the price. I mean, he's not going to be, apparently, I just saw something a little bit ago. I guess Artie Be Good turned out to be a bit of a talking horse here somehow into this. That sort of surprised me a little bit. But there's a lot of ways to go, and you are going to have to spread around to make sure you get through the Oceanside. But that's the problem with this whole sequence, because the first leg of the pick five, the sixth race, you need quite a few. And I ended up picking Shiver Me Timbers, which is not a, not a adventurous on top selection, but I'm going to use both of the Bafferts, Regulate, who's now gelded, and he put things together enough to break through and get the diploma last time. But he's going to have to improve again. And, he won kind of geared down in that July 4th maiden special. I'm also using the other Baffert, that Show Me Dilute. This is a four-year-old debut. He's a Midnight Lute, and he was always cut out to be a nice horse. He won at First Asking, then was gone, for a period, and had
a pair of interruptions in his three-year-old year. So now he's back as a four-year-old, working steadily, and it's not unusual at this time of year that a four-year-old that is almost a mature horse is very different from the last time you saw him. So you're going to look down and say, oh, you know, 85 buyer, 82 buyer, and whatever, you know, on the sheets and that kind of thing. This is far removed from the end of a three-year-old year. So a horse like this at 10 to 1 could very well improve to the point where he can win a race like this. So you're going to get a little value. Shiver Me Timbers 5-2. I don't think he'll be lower than that. What's wrong with Divisor, the Phil D'Amato? And I didn't know what to do about Kona Coast. Giant Influence is another horse. I mean, this was a tough spot, the sixth. I ended up going 1-8-9-4, and I'm going to use all four of them as A's. I think you have to try to stand in the maiden special. I think you have to try to single the Hollendorf or Philly, and just, you know, if she doesn't win, you're out of luck, and you're going to have to start a pick three. But I'm going to lean on Brill, the seven, no doubt. You've got a tough spot in the ninth. That starter allowance, ideally, Super Duper Cooper, who we talked about with Michael McCarthy yesterday, ideally him and Blame Joe, ideally, would be enough. Hard Fought is 8-1. The seven, Hess and Evan Roman. And that horse scares me, and scared me enough that I absolutely used as a B in the pick five and an A in the pick four. So 6-8-7. And then Fowry, I mentioned that Chandler bred with Shug McGahey, the Shug co-bred. This is out of Keeper Hill, a candy ride, and has had an interrupted career. But that horse scares me a little, but you got to make some stands. And then I'm going to try to single Selwood, at least in the pick five I am. I think Selwood has an edge on that maiden group in the nightcap. I think he's a little better. Other horses are going to have to improve. There are two horses moving to turf. The 11 Gorin, also a million-dollar horse for Hollendorfer and Best. And that 6, Henry County, moves to the grass too. So I spread in the pick four, but I'm going to single in the pick five. Best of luck to everybody. Del Mar today and throughout the season. We'll start to look at Saratoga tomorrow. Should be a very fun day. HRRN at 3 o'clock to get you going, get your season going. Lots of other good racing around the country. Our Thursday edition will include Georgie Velasquez, Steve Askin, Tony Black, Rich Yang, and much, much more. If you missed anything, replay 6 to 9 or visit the website. Thanks, everybody.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF past performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.